wana buso wami aukulana kilo no lo sé su hambre na dawoyami aukulana buso wami aukulana kilo no lo sé su hambre na.
Thank you, Katie. That definitely got us smiling this morning.
I know. I love those children's smiling faces.
Since we can't visit you all, we'll have to rely on that video.
Oh, sorry.
All right. Well, I hope everyone has signed in into the chat box, and today for introductions, we are going to ask everyone to just turn your cameras on. We want to see your smiling faces. I am going to stop sharing. We have 21 people on the line. I know Hopely said they were having some challenges with their internet. Jackie says hello. But Johnny says she's in an open office. Her feet is dancing under the table. Great, Johnny. Okay, let's see all those cameras on. I've got Nicholas, Teresa, Gertrude, Hopely, Anna, NMRL Lab, Penelope, Memory. Turn your cameras on. I need to get a screenshot of everybody's smiling face today. I see Teresa. Penelope. PSI Lab Francis. NMRL Lab. Gertrude has got her camera on.
Hi, Barbara.
Hello.
Hello. I think Chris joined us today. So we can get just a couple more cameras on. We're going to grab a screenshot. I am.
Oh, Rob. Priska also joined.
I see. Priska, welcome. Kwadzana's on the call.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. Let me try to switch on my.
All right. One more. Anna and Kwadzana, and then we're going to have. Oh, Nicholas turned his off.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm very well, very well. Well, thank you so much for joining us. We are looking forward to hearing about what you all have done to help reduce the turnaround time. That was an initiative that we gave to the lab, and they have determined to test transmitting results to the facility through the SMS platform. So Dignity, that sounds like that should just be like, we could just send an SMS, but you've got some planning steps here. So maybe it wasn't just a snap your fingers kind of a thing. So tell us about your planning steps.
Okay, thank you. Finally, we did actually have to engage the IT to modify the systems for SMS results, okay? We had a team lead, then we engaged the IT officers, and then we had the quality officer, and then we had the laboratory manager in order for them to assist us. Then we have to mobilize their resources that we needed to use for the project. Then we had a visit or a virtual meeting with the Mbare Polyclinic. Then we had to review the standard operating procedures on the reporting and release of results, which actually have as a draft at the moment. Use it, and then we make some improvements on it. Then we had to sensitize the team on the SMS reviews in on the SOPs. Then we had to formulate the data collection tool that we need to use to document or to tabulate the SMSs and the responses that we get from the clinics. Then we had to assign a specific data encoding clerk to record the information that we actually need to be collected. I think that was part of our planning, and that's what we did put in place.
So Dignity, let me just skip over here to your standard operating procedure. And I think you said something very important. You said you had it in a draft form. By putting it in a draft form, what are the steps that you're taking to now move it toward, why did you start with the draft form, and what are you going to do to finalize it?
Well, we had to actually call it a draft. It was for us to put it into the system and see how user-friendly it was, and also to evaluate if it was going to be capturing most of the areas that we really wanted to be captured. If there was anything missing, then people, we had to review it and come up with a more comprehensive and user-friendly standard operating procedure, which is very practical.
I think that's a key point for everyone else on this call, is that, as we said, we test changes. So we can make a draft, we can work with that, but we won't be able to finalize it till we've done some tests and yes, tried it out. So appreciate that from the standpoint of your SOP. Also here on your SOP, I noticed the last few steps are, I saw that you wanted to request a summary report for all the facilities to be sent from the phone company every month. What was your thinking around that?
Basically what we were saying, Frank, we thought possibly we'd need something that's consolidated for the facilities that will actually be working on the SMS platform, so that we can be able to evaluate the impact of the SMS project that we'll actually be dealing with. I think that's the way why we felt we need to have a summary monthly compilation of all the SMS that have been sent to the facilities.
So I also think that's a key point at Dignity, is that you're going to evaluate this. That is basically what a PDSA is, right? You're doing a test and then you're going to evaluate it. So I think key points here of learning. And then we'll kind of skip back here. So this is the second page of your PDSA plan. and I kind of moved it onto two pages. So I'm looking here at your predicting what's going to happen when the test is carried out. And I'm really appreciative of the fact that it's something measurable. And then when you put over here the measure, you focused on the time. And then when you, you describe what actually happened, you also focus on that time. So there's a nice cohesion there. So tell us what happened when you actually carried out the test.
When we did the tests, we actually looked at the SMS for the patient was received within 30 minutes of publication in the LIMS, that is the Laboratory Information Management System. So we managed to call, and then they received the reports. The results was validated as a correct reflection of what we actually had produced from our report that we had here. So that's actually how we did it.
And I think it's a key point that they predicted that they could measure something. And then what they predicted that they measured is what they actually measured. Did the call go through in the amount of time that they had set as their goal? So you were able to determine that. And then you thought you would make some adaptations to, this is your data collection. You thought there might be some adaptations that would come. So tell us what your plans are for carrying this forward, or have you done any additional since you first shared this with us?
Actually, we're looking at to include more verification to lead to more SMS transmissions of results to facilities. Then the patient identification where the name, the gel, and the sex should also be included. And also the inclusion of the OIC numbers is the uniqueness in the SMSs. And also possibly like for the clinic, for the filing system, we also consider the use of the cohort numbers. Usually they put their patients in cohort. So that is easier for them to manage, like the cohort, September cohort. Then we work with the baseline, how many patients they bleed in that particular cohort, and how many samples do you receive at the lab? How many reports did you manage to generate for that particular cohort? And which ones also of those results we did send by SMS? And the turnaround time as well, we'll be able to monitor for that particular cohort. Then also there was the issue of the inclusion of the facility.
Can we stop there 1 minute? I think that could be very helpful to the clinics because you're also helping them with their data, right? If you have the entire cohort, you could be able to help them, you know, see any gaps in the cohort. So I think that would be very helpful since you all are, you know, have a lot of this data. Go ahead.
Then also, we actually came up with the inclusion of the facility hub to actually demonstrate the effectiveness where post-analytical test is significantly high. That also we can be monitoring that it was received on the hub and then it was later transmitted to the facility. Also that time also needs to be monitored if we are actually sending the results initially to the hub and then the hub is to distribute to the facilities or the smaller clinics that actually will be bringing their samples to the hub for further transmission to the testing lab. Thank you.
Thank you very much. So this could be, I think, a very, very useful tool because we've heard stories, they're anecdotal, but we've heard stories about how long it's taking with the hub. So when do you think you would sort of ramp up your testing to include the hubs, your SMS, the testing of the SMS? When are you planning on doing that?
Hello.
Hi, Barbara.
Yes.
If I can come in.
Yes, thank you, Sandra.
Yeah, so we did do some preliminary work and we visited a few facilities. Unfortunately, one of the hurdles that we came across was the fact that most of these facilities don't have phones, facility phones. So that became a hurdle, and it's something that we need to engage the partners that are supporting those sites to see if they can provide these phones. And then once we have that up and running, we should be able to start transmitting results via SMS to them.
Thank you. Thank you, Sandra. So that's also the benefit of running, you know, some tests, and going and seeing, right? And understanding what's there. So I also just wanted to remind everyone that that's sort of how PDSAs work, right? You test it in a small, so they tested it with one lab, I mean, with one clinic, that's in Bari Poly, on one day, with one sample. That's a perfect small test of change. But then they're talking about how they can scale it up. So, you know, another site, another day, another another clinic, and then maybe then, you know, move it to the hub, thinking about where it could have a bigger impact. So those are all key points about PDSAs. Just also wondered if Jackie had any comments about, and if you've all been able to look at how the clinics are using this data and how the, because this is a change in their process and their workflow. So any comments, Jackie, on, or Dignity, on the work that you've been doing with Mbari Poly?
I think it's an ongoing project, and I think we'll be actually making a follow-up on the Mbari Poly project, and then also we intend to visit a facility that's actually using a hub in order for us to go to a wider scale to monitor the test of change using the PDA cycle and the SMS project. Thank you.
So in addition to that, maybe just to add that last week I had the occasion to visit Mbari Poly on a different mission, but I met the DEC that manages viral load results, and she was actually showing me the SMSs that they're receiving from BRIDH Lab, and she was very excited about it and how significantly the whole exercise had reduced the turnaround time. So one of the things that we proposed was that when they do their monthly summary of reports, maybe they also tell us how many SMSs they received versus the number of samples that they will have sent to the lab. I was on a different mission, but I just thought I would ask them about this particular exercise that we're also doing. So yes, we're going to visit them specifically to follow this up, but I just thought I would report that, you know, they're very excited about what's happening with the SMSs.
So that's great. And what I really like is this is a clinic lab interface, and to actually see that in action. So, you know, the lab, you can't just send out your results and say, okay, I've done my part. It's really working together. Any other comments from Jackie about how your processes have changed or how you've had to work to make this really effective and useful in your site? Jackie, we're not hearing you right now, but I see your box light up.
Hello?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay, cool. Okay, good afternoon, everybody.
So the Mbare team was supposed to join us today and give us their experience from the horse's mouth, actually. But I got a few challenges, recommendations, and just how the system is working from one of the cadres, that is the viral load focal person. So apparently, also, can I give the presentation now, Barbara?
Yes, that would be fabulous. I will stop sharing.
Oh, okay. So Barry actually started, or can I share my screen? Because it was a little presentation.
You can. You should be a couple.
Okay, so let me just try and share my screen.
Oh, wait, no, let me, you are
hosting.
You're now a co-host.
Okay. Let me just connect the screen. Okay, can people see my screen?
Yes.
Is that okay? Okay. Okay, so this is just an update of some of the challenges, recommendation, and just the process of how the SMS system is working, viral load SMS system is working at Barrier Poly. So I just took up, I asked one of the...
Putting it on presentation mode, I think it'd be a little bit bigger for us to see.
Sorry about that. So this is just, I asked her to send through just a picture of what the SMS message looks like when it comes through to their phone. So this is basically a screenshot from the phone, and we've got two results that were received. I blocked the actual identifiers for the clients. So this is basically where it says the viral load result for the name of the client as well as the surname. Male, viral load was collected on the 27th of October, 1100 hours. And then it just says, please check your email regards VRIDH. Some of with a viral load of less than 20 copies. Then the second one also had a viral load where it says their viral load was 3,597. So this is basically what the actual SMS looks like when it comes through to the Mbare phone. And then after that, so the process, the first results were received on the 8th of October, that is last month, and total results that they've received so far from October, also for the month of October, were 253 results via SMS. And then the total results that they received so far for the month of November were 31 results. So the process of how these results are received and managed is the viral load result is received via SMS, and the viral load focal person is the one who is in possession of the of this phone where it was registered with the lab to receive the results on this particular phone. So the viral load focal person receives the results on the phone. She then does the normal process of documenting viral load results in the improvised viral load register. Why she enters the viral load results in the improvised viral load register is because that's where she's going to identify or link the viral load results to the particular client. Like we did see on the screen, on the SMS, there's no, there's actually a name, but there's no cohort and there's no OIRT number. So all these details are then captured from the improvised register when she then now enters the result into that register. She's able to identify the cohort number as well as the OIRT number. Once she identifies the OIRT number cohort, she then goes into the filing room to look for the green book for the client to then record the viral load results inside. And then for clients with high viral load, the same of recording the result in the green book is done. And then they also record the client's details into the tracking register. And then the client is then tracked and called for EAC sessions for the enhanced adherence counseling sessions. So just a few challenges since it's a new system, it's just starting. They're saying the results, they're receiving results in batches, but the batches are not coming sequentially, like the same way that results don't come in sequential numbers from the day they are collected with the normal process of receiving viral load results. So results collected yesterday can come before results collected the day before. So that's one of the challenges they're experiencing, but they're managing to work around that. And then also they're saying turnaround time is mostly about a week That's the time they're taking from the time the sample is collected to the time the result is sent back to the facility via SMS. Then recommendations, there's just one or two recommendations that they came up with. And that was, I think Dignity did mention the issue of the SMS OIR number and code. So they are requesting, if it's possible, that the SMS can actually have the client's OIR number and code as well, so that they don't have the back and forth to the improvised viral register to find these details so that they can find the green book in the filing system, in the filing room. And then there's also just a request that viral load samples, if it's possible to have them received in sequential order. For example, samples that are collected yesterday to at least come before samples that are collected today, as they're saying that they're having difficulties finding results for today, linking them in the improvised register, because there are some, I don't know if it's their problem side on the facility side, whereby the dates collected are not matching with the dates that are coming out on the SMS message that is coming through. So they need to go back a day or two to try and look for when this client's viral load was collected to get the information for the client, especially if the deck is not available to get the code for them. I think that's the presentation that we had.
Wow.
Any questions?
So there's comments in the chat box. Priska says it's a game changer, innovation for impact. Goodridge says that the CLI sites, BRTI is able to support procurement of phones if there is a gap in that support. We want the SMS function to have impact, and that is not possible in sites not having phones. Thank you, Goodrich. Tendai signing in. Dr. Cabo says he thinks we need Goodrich, considering the sensitivity of the information, to think about privacy for the SMSs. Do those phones go home and be read by the family? Dr. Cabo also mentions we need a facility-based phone with lock codes to ensure confidentiality. Then we have Priska Green, Goodrich is the green. Dr. Cabo, avoid instances where a handset is barraged with personal messages and viral load results and it crashes. PSI Lab Thomas concurs with Dr. Cabo about confidentiality of paramount importance. Taku, how do we leverage off prior investments by other partners who have bought phones for clinic for different programs? And then Dr. Cabo, I'm just going to let you open your mic. To share what you have typed into the chat.
Thank you, Barbara. So the last chat was really a quick one, just agreeing with Taku. We had noted that there are some partners who've already purchased procured phones for facility teams. So we can definitely leverage on those and send messages to those. I think the whole idea was we didn't want a phone that people will take home after work with such sensitive information. So if we have phones on site that we've already procured with different partners, we can definitely use those. And it's exciting times, by the way. I can't believe this team has managed to do this much work in such a short time. So congratulations to you, Jackie, and the team at BRIDH and Mbari. I'm really impressed with this. I'm hoping we can learn quickly from it and take it to scale across the country. Because that last leg of the turnaround time is time that we can potentially say, once we have a result at the lab, it needs to quickly get to the site where we can really action the results. So I'm really impressed with the presentation I just saw. Thank you, Barbara.
So thank you, Jackie. I'm looking at the chat here. There's still some discussion about perhaps tablets with the EHR. Taku and Priska, did you want to open your mic and make some comments?
Maybe I can just make a quick one. Was when we visited Mbare Polyclinic, they didn't actually have a phone. We actually have to ask them to utilize the the Zimtech phone. That's the one that they're actually using for this program. Thank you.
Thank you, Dignity. So I'll ask Taku and Priska, one of you, both of you, want to open your mic and kind of summarize your comments?
Yeah, thank you so much to the team. I think this is an exciting moment for us, particularly, you know, this issue of result transmission, I think is one that is really key, and we want to make sure that, you know, all of this work that we put in terms of getting labs accredited and all of that actually means something to quality of care at the end of the day, you know, for our clients. So we are excited about this. So in terms of EHR, I think Taku has also touched on that to say, we have all of these opportunities, existing investments that are already in place. I think as facilities and partners, we need to just quickly look around what we have in the different facilities and utilize those existing platforms, whether it's a tablet or a phone for tracking of patients and things like that. I think we can quickly, you know, take advantage of that and get this rolled out nationwide. Over. Thank you to the team.
I see Goodrich is weighing in on several things. Goodrich, you want to open your mic and share your comments?
Thank you. Thank you, Barbara. Just to also say, I'm really excited that the pilot for the SMS function is working well in Harare. Just to say that since this is on our limbs, it's something that actually can be rolled out countrywide as long as there are phones at the facilities. So Harare becomes our test facility. We know that this works nicely, and I like the lessons learned from the presentation. So I think this will help us a lot as we roll out to the rest of the country, and that function is already there in the LIMS. So we are now just in the process of making sure we're rolling out to every part of the country. Thank you.
Very exciting, Goodrich. I see Edson. Edson, would you like to open your mic and share with us some of your comments?
Hi, everyone. So I was just highlighting that we have deployed phones to all our supported facilities, so that those are available for use in transmission of results. All our DSD cadres also have tablets, which can be used for that purpose as well. We are going to go ahead and nominate very low focal persons at facilities and also do some sort of training for them. And those will also be on hand to receive and use very low results through the SMS platform. So we are very much geared to support the SMS platform. It's something that we've been asking for and anticipating for the last few quarters. So we are very excited about this and that it's finally coming on board. Thank you.
Wow, thank you so much. Just very exciting today. As with any test, there are some things that need to be worked out. So I will encourage you all to have an additional offline meeting to really see what additional things we need to work out, the confidentiality, the actual technology, and then really what happens in the clinic, because that is an issue. So there's a couple of questions in the chat for Jackie. So this is from Fajani. Thank you for the presentation. Jackie, how do you handle high viral load management? So Jackie, would you be able to weigh in on that one? So Jackie, I think that there's actually a couple questions, but the first one is, How do you handle high viral load management? And then there is another one from patients. How long after receiving SMS do you receive the hard copy results, or don't you receive the hard copy? And then I think the follow-up question would be, well, then what do you do when you have both? How do you proceed? So Jackie, a couple questions around your processes there at the clinic. Can you open your mic and weigh in on that?
She may have dropped out. I don't see her on the screen anymore.
Jackie, I know sometimes they have connectivity challenges. We'll definitely hold those questions. Jackie? You don't see her? Okay. So we'll definitely.
Hi.
Hi, Jackie.
Sorry, my network is a nightmare, so I don't get the questions. I'm sorry.
Let me try them again then. So from Fajani, she's asking how you handle high viral load management. So you may want to take that one first. And then there's another one from patients. So go with that one.
Okay, so back to Fajani. I think...
Jackie, we're not hearing you now.
Maybe Jackie can type her answer in the chat box.
Okay, let me type, okay. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can hear you, Jackie, go ahead.
Okay, so I think my network is a bit off today. We're in the field. So I was still saying that the SMS message comes through to the phone, and then using the normal process of documenting the viral load inside the improvised viral load register, once that is done, that's when the viral load focal person is able to get the details for the client. That is the OIR number as well as the cohort, and then use those details to then find the client's green file. Once a client's green file is found, the result is documented in the green file. And then after documentation, the same results or details are then entered in the tracking register. The tracking register is then used to try and to call the client because the details are there. The client is then called. If the client is able to come to the health facility, an appointment is made. If the client is not able to come to the health facility, that's when the first EAC or the first enhanced adherence counseling session is done via the phone. So that's when they'll also make an appointment to have or when to have the second EAC session, whether it's going to be per phone again or the client is coming back to the health facility. That also depends on the number of tablets the client has. So the virtual calls are also dependent on the number of tablets the client has. If the client has enough bottles to last them through the EAC sessions, then they're just done per phone and discussions on how to bring down the viral load to below 1,000 or to TND copies. And then the client is then seen after an appointment is made with the clinician. I hope that answers your question. Sorry, Barbara, I can't hear you. Okay.
So Fajani, if that doesn't answer your question, you may type something else in. In the meantime, Jackie, there's another question. How long after receiving SMS do you receive the hard copy result, or you don't even receive the hard copy?
Thank you for that question. That was also my question to the facility staff. So like I did mention, the first results started coming in on the 8th of October, and the viral load focal person mentions that they haven't received a hard copy since. So the results that I've been receiving or that they have received are not from the SMSs. So none of the SMSs have actually come with hard copies.
Okay. Sylvia is also weighing in from Bari Pali. She says, when the high viral load result is received, the PC contacts the client through voice call. We tell them to come to the clinic. Thank you, Sylvia. Nicholas is also asking, he is suggesting sending of SMS to clients as well, alerting them their results are out and they need to visit the clinic for collection. So that is another thought. Maybe the lab, Sandra Dignity, someone could weigh in on that, or perhaps that's a policy issue that perhaps Dr. Cabo may want to weigh in on.
We have something similar for early infant diagnosis. Thank you, Barbara. Where we, you just send a simple message saying your results are ready, please contact XXX clinic. Yeah, so we have something similar. I agree with Nicholas. It will help that loop and reduce the burden on the clinic to reach out to the client. I think it would be a nice addition later on, perhaps. Yeah.
Thank you, Dr. Cabo. It's already work in progress. The IT team is already working on that.
Hello. It's
perfect. Good, Rich. Thank you.
Hello, it's good, Rich. Thank you, Dr. Cabo. Just to say that function is already there in the in the system. So as long as the numbers are inputted, there is a message which goes to the patient to say your result is ready. You can go and collect it. So it's already there. It's just utilization. Thank
you. Oh, that is fabulous, Goodrich. That puts ownership on the client and helps them to be the owner of their health. So excellent. BRDH, may you respond as to why a hard copy has not followed after SMS results? So Fortunate is asking a question to BRIDH. I think that's to you, Dignity, or anyone there at BRIDH. Why the hard copy has not followed after SMS results. I just saw Dignity there, but so that's something we can follow up offline. I think I've covered all the questions. Katie, did I miss anything? Okay.
I don't think so.
Fabulous. I want to really give a round of applause to Jackie and her team, Dignity and their team, Sandra, all the partners who have weighed in and supported. This is so powerful. So definitely, you know, encourage you to continue these internal discussions and you know, don't let the energy and the excitement die out. Maybe put something on your calendars for next week to be able to really follow up with this. I'm now going to turn the time over to Dr. Cabo, who was able to actually, with the team, and there's a team that went to actually get out and visit some of the sites. And as you know, from the beginning, that's a key component of LARC is the site visit and supported the site. So I will stop sharing. I will make Dr. Cabo a co-host so he can share, and I will turn the time over to Dr. Cabo and the team that went out on the site visits. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. Hi, everyone. In a very short space of time, I'm going to put two sites on the spot. So PSI Lab in Chitungwiza, as well as Second North in Chitungwiza as well. So, but before we have this question and answer statement, I just wanted to take you through a few of the pictures summarizing some of the experience. For those that are interested, I can share this report with you if you're interested, or I can ask Fortunate to circulate it to our whole group. So we did some visits on the 22nd and 23rd of October. It was a big team, Jafet, Metron Maketo. We visited some sites in Epworth, including Overspill. We also visited some sites in Chitungwiza, including the PSI lab as well. So this is a picture taken from Zengeza of their QI corner. Left a few recommendations on how they can update their QI corner, but I was impressed. It's very easy to impress Dr. Kabu. The fact that you even have a QI corner, for me, those are easy things that you can get done. I can see two PDSAs there being summarized of the PDSAs that you carried out. Although I think these were looking at AIM 1, I know people were distracted by COVID later on in the year, but I'm glad that sites like Zengeza already have QI corners. This is a picture taken from Second North. It's outlining a process map. So they not only process mapped, but they also went through a process of a very detailed process of drawing the process map for the site. I remember training them on this a few years back around how decision points are diamonds, simple steps are rectangles and things like that. So I was really impressed to see this. But over and above that, I saw again two PDSAs linked to AIM 1. So you can see in terms of documentation, Second Note will be telling us a bit more around how they find the time and how they use teamwork to try and come up with documentation like this. So you can tell they have a PDSA is relating to AIM 1, and then there's AIM 2, and then there's site performance on AIM 2. You can see down there for AIM 1, that's the performance drawn by hand. Sometimes you don't need a computer, even a pen will do, just to help you have a feel of whether your performance is going up or down. So for this site, I remember they went through a detailed process of telling us the challenges that they are going through, some shortages of key viral load consumables. So you can see that's why the performance is going down, but it's not enough that the performance is going down. You need to have a visual, you need some visual assistance to keep you always conscious of whether your efforts are bearing any fruit. So this is one of the things that I want to upload Second Note on. They will tell us a bit more in the question and answer in the next few minutes around how they found the time, where they found this graph paper to go through this, or whether they called their coach and their coach spent a weekend drawing these on their behalf. We'll find out a bit more from them. So this is the first AIM. The second AIM, you remember we're looking at management of clients with our viral load and how they are being managed. So there's the matrix that goes with the flow chart, with the run chart. So you can really see how things are moving at this facility, even if I visited this facility without the QI team, the QI corner is telling a story. So you can tell up to March, they were focusing on this, and then they moved July all the way until September. So the October data point was still missing because we visited towards the end of October. And then we also got a chance to visit the PSI lab. So the PSI lab, again, is a QI corner that also tells its own story. So apologies to you, Samuel, and the team. If you look down there, there's more additional information. So there's a learning board outlining the work that they've been doing. But I wanted for this particular picture to focus on the matrix that they are tracking with targets on the right. So even if I visited PSI lab and I went in through the window, all the different measures or the different indicators, I know what the standard is because it's written in red on the right. I can tell where they were as of September. And I can tell what the trends were even before that. So this is not a graphical depiction, but it's something that you can quickly relate and see whether things are improving or becoming worse. So as these pictures are summarizing something that I'll go back up to say those are the pictures, but I decided to single them out based on the findings and how we summarize them in a table. So working with the team that I went on support visits with, we tried our best to focus on the positives. So there is a lot that's not going on well. So for example, I was telling you about how vacutainers are in short supply, where they are available, people are struggling with using them because they can't complete them. They can't fill them up to 4 mils. So there are lots of challenges, but in spite of all those challenges, we managed to identify several best practices from these two. We identified best practice from all the three labs that we visited, the RIDH, Stungiza PSI lab, as well as the Epworth Poly lab. We also visited three ART clinics. So that was overspill, Zengeza in second note. So all these six sites that we visited, we managed to identify something that was going on well, in spite of all the challenges with COVID, HR turnover, and things like that. So I've singled out some specific best practice and put a yellow highlight on them. I want to share them with you. And then soon after I share with them, I'm going to put the team on the spotlight so they can tell us how they managed to get this done. So for me, quality improvement is a lot about peer learning, learning from your peers. I don't expect every site to be reinventing the wheel. You can learn about what's happening in other sites, but what's important is to adapt it to your setting, because not all sites are the same. So with that in mind, Samuel and your team, I hope you're online. I'll take people through several of the best practices that I saw when we visited your lab. So the first of these is the lab rejection rates. If you look at the picture that I showed you earlier, the lab rejection rates across all Chitungiza sites have come down since we started implementing the viral load CLI. So I remember Samuel has presented on behalf of PSI a few weeks or months back. I was struck by how he shared all of this, but when I was seeing it on site, I was struck by how impactful this program has been. So the lab rejection rates for Chitungiza hard sites have gone down, and essentially a lab scientist went around, they took turns to go around and have at least all the sites being visited by a lab scientist to tell them about the key reasons for sample rejections and train the facility teams on how to collect proper samples. And since then, you can tell from the graph that I showed, from the table that I showed you, that this has gone down. And so I know it may not be possible for our bigger labs that have bigger catchment areas, but for me, even if a site is a catchment is 160 sites that fit to it, if once a month they are able to visit even one site to train them on lab on sample rejection, and they will need 160 months to complete it. But just getting started, for me, is the key part. So that was the first of the best practices that we noted from PSI Lab. The second of this is that the Chitungiza PSI Lab and the sites that submit samples to them form the WhatsApp group. This WhatsApp group is used to disseminate information from the lab. And then as I was listening, people from the lab were the ones who actually suggested to say, no, we have a very vibrant WhatsApp group, but we feel it's been going one way. So it's essentially the lab informing the sites. So one of the lab scientists that works with Samia was suggesting that even the clinics themselves, they can use that same platform to follow up with missing results, to keep the lab engaged. That way it's a two-way interface rather than a one-way interface. And when somebody from the lab team suggested that, I almost felt like standing up and clapping hands. These are people who are understanding the importance of the lab and the clinics interfacing, not only through formal learning sessions, which sometimes take time to convene, but on a day-to-day basis. So you have a missing result from samples that you sent last week, you can type on the WhatsApp group and the lab can still follow up and update you using that common platform. And by having a common platform, the lab doesn't need to train a particular site or each site in different instances. So one session, every lab that sends samples to that particular, every site that sends samples to that particular lab will have been capacitated. So harnessing newer technologies to ensure that we maintain that interface between the lab and the facility, for me, was a crucial piece. And the lab was encouraging the site teams. So the Chitungiza teams that are on this call, you're being encouraged to actually reach out to the lab and find out about any issues that you may not understand. All the sites I visited in Chitungiza were struggling with either syringes or with EDTA tubes. That WhatsApp group that you have with PSI Lab is a good place to start. Then the lab can see how they can leverage resources from elsewhere to share with you. But first, they need to be aware of your challenges. So use that group. Don't just use it to get updates from the lab. And then the other aspect to sample rejection is the riders are also playing a role around sample rejection. So a rider is not looking at a sample knowing that it will get rejected at the lab and transporting it and wasting time. So for example, the PSI lab working with the riders built the capacity of the riders to identify a sample that is not up to standard. And they can interact directly with the site team so that they replete that client. This improves the loop. So the clinic is not waiting for a result when a sample has been rejected. This is something that I've discussed almost 10 times with Prisca specifically since last year around how we can use the IST system to play a role around quality assurance of samples. Prisca, I'm sure you remember our several conversations relating to this. Chitungiza has demonstrated that we can definitely get it off the ground. So as we are working with the IST team, we need to ensure that we capacitate the riders to be able to identify a sample that is not up to standard. And then they advise the team to replead rather than burning fuel transporting a suboptimal sample. So PSI lab has already demonstrated this with the sites that submit samples to them. And then finally, the PSI lab again is one of the few sites from the sites that we're working with where every member of the QI team has completed the IHI courses. I think that was the other item that stood out for me. They're encouraging each other. I was seeing the teamwork even as they were responding to our questionnaire. They are taking turns to respond. It's not just Samuel that is on the spot. It's the whole site that is feeling like they are playing a role in this bigger picture around quality improvement. So Samuel and your team, you want to get your team started to try and share with other labs that are on this call around some of the issues that I've spoken about and how you managed to tackle them from your end. So over to you, Samuel, and your team.
Yeah, Dr. Cabo, while Samuel is coming on, there's a comment in here from Goodrich saying, in the districts, Goodrich, you just want to sign on and share what your comment was? Probably be better coming from you.
Thank you, Barbara. I'm also noticing that we can't always maybe say people need to travel to all health facilities to train nurses on how to reduce rejection rates. But I'm also noticing an opportunity in the districts in the sense that there's a monthly nurses meeting where lab scientists are also allowed to attend. So I'm thinking it can be an opportunity to reach out to all the health facilities who are usually represented. So it won't even take much money or any per diem sometimes. It can just be an appearance for 10 minutes. And I think what's important is to find.
I agree with you 100%, Goodrich. As long as we have a platform that we can leverage to ensure that this capacity is built on how to collect a correct sample. So I visited other sites that were struggling with collecting samples using a vacutainer, for example. I visited some sites where syringes were an issue. So if the lab scientist has a platform, it can be an echo session, can be one of the echo sessions where sometimes it's set aside where the lab demonstrates how to collect a sample and the qualities or characteristics of a quality assured sample. I feel like definitely we can leverage on such. So nurses monthly meeting is such an example. A district health team meeting is such an example. I agree with you 100% on that. So it may not be physically traveling to all the sites around, but having an interface with the sites so you can build their capacity around this. I agree with you 100% on this.
So this is exciting. This is what the collaborative is about, sharing best practices, sharing opportunities, leveraging things you already have in place. Fabulous. So thank you, Goodrich, and I will back to you, Dr. Cabo.
Yes, Sam. I'm going to defer to Sam and his team if they have any comments around the issues that I just raised that are highlighted in yellow. Maybe they can also tell us who is updating the PSI lab, this who is tasked with making sure that it's completed on a month-to-month basis to ensure that it's always up to date. who came up with these ideas for capacitating site teams, who came up with the idea for the riders to be trained on how to reject samples for viral load, such issues. So over to you, Samuel.
And your team. Good afternoon, all.
Good afternoon.
Yes, I do agree with Dr. Kabo. We can't overemphasize the need for the clinic-lab interface. Like he has already highlighted, the WhatsApp platform, for example, it's not a PSI WhatsApp platform alone, but it's to further buttress the clinic-lab interface. So we feel as a lab, the moment the other sites or the other health facilities respond or communicate on that platform, that's where the clinic lab interface really begins. So thanks for highlighting that, Dr. Kabo. Like he has already said, we have an opportunity for improvement the moment we strengthen that WhatsApp group in terms of the stock management on both the lab and the health facility side. Again, we can't overemphasize the need for the clinics being able to have their viral load sample collection targets. So that WhatsApp group, as well can help when we communicate constantly with the clinics on their current sample outputs or targets. So in terms of the quality indicator dashboard, it's an initiative by our QI officer or coordinator, so to speak, that's Thomas, who completes the QI dashboard. We have a lab in charge who goes for about 3 months in charge. So that lab in charge is supposed to be completing that dashboard or any designee if the lab in charge is not available. But thanks to Dr. Kapo for highlighting all the opportunities for improvement. I will hand over to my other colleagues. Maybe they have something to add to what I've already said.
Yes, please, they can go ahead, especially where these ideas came from for all these ideas that you tried out and have demonstrated. I see some indicators started off in red, but you can see they are going towards green. So where did these ideas come from? Was it from the manager? Was it from the QI coach? Was it from the site teams? Where did you get the ideas on how to improve these? So for everyone, there's a color code at the bottom. So where you are seeing red is where there is need for corrective action. Where is blue, it's a warning. You're performing, but not quite up to standard. And then green is where you are within the standard. So the colors are not immediately apparent because of the contrast there. So rest of the team, please chip in from PSI Lab.
Good afternoon. So what we've done for our indicators, we've merged different quality improvement techniques. The color coding is basically Kaizen. It's a robot to tell you red, stop, green, okay, go. Then we initially wanted to have an amber, but because of the color of our Manila, we couldn't really be able to see it. So we basically merged Kaizen and luck to produce something that tells us exactly where we are. So basically it's always been work in progress. Where we started and where we are now is, it's been a long journey. This has been, we had other indicators that you can include there, but we saw that from a lab perspective, these are the most important. Thank you very much.
Thank you for that. I'm hoping you guys will email me a latest picture with the October, with how you performed on the October matrix.
Yep,
Samuel,
noted.
Can your team assist with that?
No problem, we'll do that.
Okay. And then the next team that I want to interview is the Second North team. So the Second North team, sitting in my office, just reviewing the indicators that Jafet is collecting, is a team that I wasn't particularly impressed with. So you can tell even from their performance that they are tracking themselves, that it's in some instances is actually coming down. But the lesson that I want to share with everyone here is just the teamwork, improved teamwork, and improved documentation. So they have a QI corner within Second North that our age clinics that are close by to just go in and peep and see how they are doing things. So the indicators themselves need some improvement. I got an understanding as to why the performance was going like this, but I want the Chitungwi, the Second North team to share with us around how they've managed to achieve the following. So for Second North, they have a strong QI team. We saw several minutes that are typed onto the DEX computer. So the documentation aspect was impressive. So the minutes of the QI meetings are there. The QI team met us. And as they were meeting us, you could tell they were taking turns to respond. That teamwork dynamic was actually very apparent. I'll ask the matron to also comment based on her own findings, but that's what I saw. When I went through the QI corner, it was the most up-to-date QI corner amongst all the facilities that I managed to visit. In spite of all the challenges with COVID and with staff and with late salaries and with all these things, they still managed to have an updated QI corner. But the one thing that struck me is as I was visiting facilities, I was asking them, what's your weekly target for viral load bleeding? For me, it shows whether people are tracking their performance. So if you have a target, I was comparing it with your ART cohort, dividing it by 52 weeks to see whether if you maintain your target, you'll be able to have 100% viral load coverage. So Second North as a clinic, they did have this target, and it was actually slightly above the mean that they needed to have per week. And they did explain that they needed to compensate for the time that they lost during COVID. So it showed that they put a lot of thought into setting the target and also tracking their performance on a month-to-month basis. Over and above that, again, amongst the sites that we visited, it was one of the few sites, again, where the seven team members had also completed all the IHI courses, including the primary counselor. So again, that was the impressive aspect to this. I'm hoping, so what I call this the infrastructure of QI. So it's difficult for QI to achieve results if you don't have the infrastructure in place. You need to have the team, you need to have the focal person, you need to be meeting regularly before you can demonstrate results. So in terms of the infrastructure of QI, I feel like Second North is doing well on that particular front. And so I'm opening it up to the Second North team. They can tell us when they meet as a QI team, how they ensure that they meet regularly, and whether it's their coach who goes to update their QI corner. So how do they assign roles to ensure that their QI corner is up to date? Zengez, I already has a QI corner, I already mentioned that, but I want them to learn from you so that they can, their QI corner can also be up to date. So what can they learn from you? So what lessons can you share with the other sites on this call on updating this before we move on to the site performance itself? So Second North team, please go ahead.
Hello, everyone. And thank you, Dr. Kabo, for giving us this chance to speak on the platform. So as Second North Clinic, we have been fraught with challenges, and I would say time is really a challenge, but we have managed to work through the hurdles. And as you have seen, our performance is not always great. And as on the graph, of course, it's receding, and we attribute that to several factors, which we highlighted to the team that visited us, as led by Dr. Kabo. But in as much as we have had those challenges, we have managed to perform well in putting in place a QI infrastructure, as alluded to, by making sure that we have teamwork as led by our sister in charge, our nurse in charge, Mr. Jaga, has been really fundamental in leading the team. And we do have support from the coach the QI coach really chips in. She supports us as and when we shout out. And we also have our meetings, which we convene to discuss our QI issues. So we meet on a monthly basis. We have an official meeting, which we conduct every month. But in between, we also have what we call QI moments. These are less formal, less organized meetings when we just meet to discuss issues as they arise, so that we do not really have to wait for month end to discuss the issues. So we can solve any issues as they arise. So in those QI moments, we discuss issues pertaining to data, pertaining to consumables, like in the viral load monitoring projects, and sharing ideas and sharing experiences on the projects which we are implementing. And in the team, we managed to identify and assign roles to different members who make up the QI committee. We do have a QI committee in place, and the members who make up that committee have their specific duties. Within the committee, we have our PC, who is specifically working on AIM 2 and is leading us with management of high viral load cases, and that CADA is Mai Mukucha. She's our PC. And we also have a data entry clerk who is responsible for collecting and managing data for viral load management and coverage. And that deck is Luke Gatsi. We also have I myself, Sivas Chisaka, a data entry clerk. I'm also the coordinator for the team. I coordinate and try to ensure that we conduct the meetings and when we need to conduct them. And as led by the in charge, of course. And we also managed to identify a viral load champion in one of the projects which we are implementing. And that champion is a CRF whom we noted that is fundamental in giving feedback to the team, giving feedback to the site from her interactions with the community, with the patients, every now and then when she gives out health education, when she ensures that there are commodities. In as much as we have that viral load champion, we also have a viral load focal person who is an RGN. So we combine roles. We have a viral load champion working with a viral load focal person, and they'll be sharing their experiences, feeding back to the QI committee, and then we can always try to correct problems as they arise. So I can say that's how we have been able to function, and teamwork and team spirit has been the backbone of our performance so far in terms of having a functional QI committee in place. And the decks are responsible for updating the quality improvement corner, the learning board. Every month we update with the learning board with new data, and we track the indicators as necessary. The viral load focal person and the viral load champion are responsible for ensuring that we do have commodities in place for mobilizing people or for mobilizing demand for viral load, and for ensuring that documentation in the patient care booklets is done. We also minute when we have our formal meetings, we also minute, and the data entry clerks are responsible for capturing the minutes, and we file with them. So sometimes we do have challenges with stationery, but we just maintain soft copies of our minutes. And when stationery is provided, we just print out and file. So for now, that's what I can say in terms of our performance as a team, as Second Note Clinic. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Kabu. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Sifas. Thank you for updating on that particular aspect. I think Dignity is bringing some very important aspect, which I will not comment on. I'll ask the lab scientists on the call to assist on that front around, or even the clinicians themselves, around who does the triple packaging during sample pickup by the rider. Is it the one who does this, or by the time they arrive, the clinic has already done the triple packaging? What's the standard around this area to see whether the riders can potentially play a role and as an additional layer of quality assurance for sample rejection. What's currently happening? Are you packaging samples for the rider, or is the rider packaging when they arrive?
The clinician will do the packaging so that they'll be ready for collection when the rider comes in. So this is the packaging is done by the clinician.
Thank you for that. Teshi, I see your hand is up. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Akabo. So as we're visiting the facilities, noted the two scenarios where sometimes the rider gets a already packed sample package to pick up, or else when they come to the site, they are assisted with by the clinical staff to pack. At the same time, they are also checking whether what they have in terms of forms and samples actually corresponding, and thereby they are ensuring that the lab does not reject samples which have got missing forms or forms without samples. The most common rejections that we are finding in the labs are actually missing forms or missing samples. So the contribution of the rider to the rejection is when they're actually picking up the samples from the facility, they need to ensure that everything is available, the form and the corresponding sample. That is as far as they can go, but they cannot go into the technical bit of rejection, whether the sample integrity is okay. So this is how they contribute. Thank you.
Thank you, patients. I think from what I'm understanding, we are all agreeing the riders cannot be the sole people responsible for sample rejection. I think the primary area or the root cause that we need to focus on is building the skills of the clinicians to collect correct samples. So if we're waiting until samples have been rejected, we are going too far downstream. So we need to ensure that we build the capacity of the facility teams so that they do not ever collect samples that might get rejected. So if the riders are playing a role, it's just an additional layer, but the primary responsibility is building the capacity of clinicians to collect a quality sample that is less likely to be rejected. Dignity, does that fall in line with what you're typing on the chat box? Am I understanding you properly?
I think about the sample handling, that is what is very critical there. The riders are not really trained on handling infected material. So that's why we practice the triple packaging. And when those boxes are being opened, or whenever they actually start handling those specimens, they are riders, we are exposing them. So I think the riders, their job is to pick the triple packaged samples, their transmitter forms or their transportation forms, and then they bring them to the lab. Then the lab is the one which is supposed to open those boxes and then vet the samples and accept those that meet the acceptance rejection criteria at the laboratory. Those that need to be rejected, then the lab is supposed to reject and communicate with the clinic. In the process, the lab will actually be noting the challenges that the facility is facing. And then they can institute a non-conformity, which they can now follow up to do the corrective action.
Exactly. I think that last bit is an important one.
I don't think the riders should be given the role of rejecting samples. Was they just, was let's say the rider but like our riders here in the city of Harare, he has got more than 22 to 25 clinics to go to. And then at every clinic, he has to start checking and vetting the samples. He goes to the next clinic, he does the same procedure. And the time that he's going to take to do his cycle, to visit all the clinics and pick up the boxes, I don't think it's going to be feasible.
No, I totally get you. Then are we suggesting then that to reduce sample rejections, the lab will need to capacitate the site teams on how to do it properly? I feel like waiting until a sample has been rejected is we could be more proactive and not wait until samples are rejected and build the capacity of the site teams to collect quality samples so that we are less likely to reject later on. Does that work for you?
Yes. Well, what I was actually on the sample collection and handling. Like as we have actually developed the sample collection and handling handbook that we have given to all the sites that do the sample collection, we've gone to those sites, we've done the trainings, and also we have trained them on the use of the appropriate containers or receptacles for samples. So what I'm saying is we should have refresher training. If we feel a certain clinic has got deficiencies in the collection and handling of samples, but to be doing the vetting of samples one by one, maybe they've collected 35 or 40 viral load samples and vetting them against the forms and the transmitter of forms, I think, and it's all not only viral load samples that they will be collecting from those sites. They'll also be handling TB samples, cholera samples, typhoid samples, which will be triple packaged. So they don't have to open and then start vetting those samples until those samples get vetted by properly trained cadres. Thank you.
I totally get you, especially considering they are going to 25 facilities and they only have that 6-hour window before the samples we still have that tight 6-hour window where samples need to be processed soon after collection. So I totally get your concern, especially for the high volume facilities. Thank you for that, Dignity.
Dr. Kavo.
Barbara, over to you. I'm done with my session.
Well, I was just going to say, perhaps this is another great opportunity to get the lab partners on the team together and, you know, work on this standardization. I think yes. That's another key component that we could offer by having this lab clinic interface. We have some fabulous lab partners, a lot of knowledge. Convene a session. Again, I'm going to suggest next week, strike while the iron is hot, and get people really focused on this. I see that there's a comment from patients about they've started training writers. So wouldn't it be great to collaborate between the partners here? We could standardize the training. We could standardize the process. Again, then there's less chance of variability, less chance of defects in our process. So that's just QI, and that's part of a collaborative. So if I could encourage BRTI to convene with the other lab partners, and we could just perhaps again standardize across this small group, then we would have something we could spread. So that would be a wonderful to do.
I agree, Barbara. I'm on board. If they can let us know how we can also help to facilitate that, I think it would be an awesome output for the next meet to update on the next meeting.
I think that would be great. So may I see Dr. Junior's on the call, Goodrich, Fortunate. May I task you all and Dr. Cabo with putting that together?
Yes, Barbara, I will take it up with the BRI, with the BRTI team.
Awesome.
And the lab directorate, yeah.
So I have to ask everyone online today, we have 37 participants online. Did you not really appreciate this last session? I mean, I've learned so much, and having eyes on the ground, especially when we cannot put our eyes on the ground, has been so helpful. So Dr. Cabo, site visit team, all those interviewed, those who have contributed in the chat box, just an excellent, excellent opportunity to learn. So thank you very much. Time is not on our side, as Jafit likes to say. So what I will do is I'm going to give you a little bit of homework. We just want to remind everyone that we're looking for measurable results. The control plan. What I'm going to remind you is in the workbook between pages 77 and 84, there is information about the control plan. Remember those workbooks way back when? So take a look at that information. I don't think we're ready for control plan yet, because we are still, you know, working, even though we're going to officially close this collaborative in a couple of weeks, and we'll give you a little more time to get your data in. But the control plan is all about sustainability and auditing as we go along. And I just want to share with you one short video about the control plan. And I'll start it and then make sure everyone can hear it. So let me do that. Can everyone hear that?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. So it's about a minute and a half. And then I'll assign the rest of the control plan for you all to look at your workbook. Here we go.
I don't know if there's a secret, but one thing that we have been talking a lot about is that you know, there's improvement and there's control. I mean, if you think of the Drawn Trilogy, for example, there's, you know, this idea of planning for improvement, and then you work on an improvement process and watch your data go up or down, whichever the direction of goodness is. And then once it's there, there's an element of trying to sort of keep an eye on it and make sure that it stays in control, and that that you know don't have the process, you know, the system change around the process, and so performance drops. And one of the things that we've sort of been thinking about a lot is this idea of, you know, it's not as much of on off as it is more like a soft, hard improvement. So at some points, sometimes you're really working hard on an improvement because you're trying to get it to a level of performance. Now you may dial back a little bit because you're in that control phase, but you still need to be, you know, kind of paying attention and thinking about it. And at some point you may notice that there's an opportunity for you to do a little bit of improvement. It doesn't mean you have to do a full-on initiative, but the system or something may have changed slightly that requires you to just do some small improvements that will enable it to stay at the level that you've gotten it to. So I think that's a key piece, is that, you know, often we think about it as it's on off or, you know, hot and cold, versus saying, well, gosh, sometimes we're doing a lot of heavy effort because we want to get it to a level of performance that's good. And then at that point, we need to just have some continuous touch points that make sure that we keep it there and that we improve as needed. But it may be more in a control level than it is in an improvement side.
So I think that's a key point as we move ahead. We are in an intense phase right now. We're doing a lot of testing, but we want to get it to this point where we're going to check in, keep checking in on it. And as we check in on it, we're going to want to make sure that it stays at that level of goodness that he calls it. So as we are wrapping up, we want to ensure sustainability. We want to communicate these results. So the things we've captured today, the things we've worked on, we want to communicate and create our final report. So each site, we're going to ask you to create that final report. And whatever you've done, you've done. Share whatever you've done. And we know that it's continuous. Quality improvement is continuous. And we want to spread this and share this around the country. And of course, we want to celebrate. So again, I'll assign you the control plan to read about that more in the workbook. And the key point here is, once you get something to this level of goodness that you want to achieve, is that you are going to continue to monitor it over time. You're going to continue to follow it to make sure it doesn't fall off. So I'll leave that to you. And then communication, it's going to be your final report. And we're asking for that in 2 weeks, that you pull together everything you've done. We know that there's still work to be done, but we'd really like to see your closing. So I'll just sum it up in one final slide, and we'll sign off after. I'm just going to ask you to rate today's session. But what you are going to receive, and we're going to ask that it be completed on the Monday before the 18th, so that's going to be the 16th. that you do an end of cohort survey. So we're going to try to learn as much as we can. What did you like? What do you think we could do better? And we really want, if you can take some time to put in your own comments. We'll have some check boxes, you can rate things, but we'd really like to hear your comments because we are a continuous quality improvement program. And so we are continuously improving our program. So we're gonna get that out to you hopefully by tomorrow. And then we're going to ask you to complete that survey as honest and open as possible. And then there's this final report. We're going to ask that you get that the data pulled together and the report pulled together. I'll send you a final template for the report so that it's pretty much everything we've been done, but I'll just send you one final template so you can know exactly what we want in there. We want the viral load challenge, the data collection on AIM-3. I realize that you're just going to probably have 1 month of October, but whatever you have, let's definitely take a look at that. And then your final results on AIM-1 and AIM-2, whatever you've been able to do, we're going to ask for those in your final report. So are there questions at this moment? You can come with your questions. I'm going to go ahead and share.
Hi, Barbara, a quick one from me. Yeah. I wanted to find out if we can do a virtual process mapping of second north before the 18th. Is that doable? What's your availability like?
My availability, I think we should be able to fit it in. Can I send you some dates, or you can send me some dates and we'll do that offline? But yes, I would love to do that.
Please send us some dates and then we'll coordinate with Fortunate.
Okay, sounds great. This is just a poll, excuse me, getting dry. This is just our poll of what you thought of today's session. So if you could fill that in. Again, I will get everything to Fortunate as far as the evaluation and the final report template. And it's very hard to believe, hard to imagine that everything we've lived through that we will be drawing to an end, but we will be on the 18th. So, and then that will give us time to have your data and then put together a final report, which we will do and of course share with you all. So I've got 51% of you have voted on today. Hopefully we can get at least 75% of you. And so the
poll. I see your hand is up. Is it an old hand or is it a new issue?
Sorry, it's an old hand.
All right, so here are the results. All fours and fives, pretty much half. So that is good feedback. Again, we are an improvement program. So if you have specific improvements, share them on the SurveyMonkey that you will receive. Put anything in there, be honest, be open, share with us so we can continue to do better. So with that, I have nothing more. I will close out the session. Dr. Cabo, Fortunate, Dr. Junior, any closing words for us?
Nothing from me, Barbara, except to thank everybody for putting in their time. I know we've gone 28 minutes past our allocated time, but to thank everybody for their patience and for all the effort that they are putting into this initiative. And just to encourage people to complete the reporting, it will be very crucial to help us compile an overall report for this particular cohort. We can't write anything if they haven't given us the information to write on. Yeah. So just urge everybody to put in some time to compile reports for your facility and send them through. Thank you.
Fortunate, anything from your team?
I think Dr. Kawaya said it all. I also just wanted to encourage people to write the report and please submit the report on time
so that we can review and go through the reports on our last webinar on the 18th, as Barbara said.
So I'll stop recording.